Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! Now we're in a transition a little bit. Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to The Score. I want to thank everyone for calling and texting and most of all listening. It means a lot to us. Hub, thank you. It was great this morning. Really enjoyed our conversation, and it's always a pleasure to see you on our little Zoom call.
Thank you so much for having me. This is the best morning I've had in a long time. Even if the news hasn't all been great, getting to spend it with you guys is always a treat, and of course our listeners.
And we want to thank our executive producer. His name is Dustin William Rhodes.
I want to be here and told the guys I'd rather, you know, sink with the ship.
He always sinks with our ship. And thanks to you, Ray Diaz. What a glorious human.
I sound a little cocky, but I think we're legends in Chicago. We really are.
It's true. Happy birthday to Hope Solo. She's a soccer goalie. Happy birthday to Lawrence Fishburne and Arnold Schwarzenegger, actors. Arnold, also a politician. Casey Stengel's birthday. And how about this one? Henry Ford. Henry Ford, I believe his ancestors owned the Detroit. So we have to wish Henry a happy birthday. And now is the time in the day when we really get to enjoy our lives, because Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi become a part of them. Guys, good morning and bless you.
We found Akeem Hicks, huh?
Akeem Hicks has turned up, and apparently it was a sore foot.
Well, then why not tell us?
Well, that's a great question, Dan. And frankly, it's a real disservice to not tell anybody anything. If it's as simple as that, if he really is practicing right now, then, you know, here's a guy that you told to go get himself a trade at one point. Here's a guy that was rumored to be disgruntled. A thousand thoughts go through your head when a guy like that is not available to you. He was also injured a little bit in the past. So, you know, come on. Just play nice.
That training camp is just now, what, 2021, where are the bears? Is that what we're doing here the first
find
week?
A bear?
Yeah.
The find a bear workshop?
It's like build a bear, but different in that you might get a bear, you might not.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's really crazy stuff, guys. And we've had an interesting transition going on up there. You know, obviously the pandemic changed the way we're able to do a lot of things in terms of media, getting the information, reporting the information. And you know, we're working on trying to put everybody in the best position possible. And then when they do something like this, where, I mean, I spent all night on the phone dealing with both, you know, other people checking sources and our own media people. And we were trying to understand. It felt like this had to be something pretty serious, or right. Why wouldn't they be telling us? And then to come back this morning and say, hey, he's got a sore foot, you know, we think he'll be okay today. It doesn't make any sense. That there is no good explanation for it unless we haven't heard the whole story. And I'm not saying we haven't, because we don't know anything. But this is the kind of things that create some of these issues around this team that are unnecessary and can be a distraction for everybody. And hopefully they'll figure it out and do better.
They really want us to buy that all of these injuries are fine. The truth is, they can't all be a nothing. They really make it sound, oh, we're not worried about this. We're not concerned about this. Well, I am.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we talked about it a little bit earlier. If you get to the hitting portion of the program and you still can't get offensive linemen on the field, I'd say that is a really bad sign. Maybe we wait till Monday, but it's you're right. It's all a problem, John Fox.
And I thought, I don't know if it was you or Hub who brought this up, maybe it was Bigsy, that I found really interesting, the idea of Cody Whitehair almost being a victim of his own versatility. And just because you can use him in places where he may not be at his optimal usage, you end up doing that. I mean, is there anybody, can you remember somebody in a career like this who's always been, we could use Cody Whitehair there, so we're going to, and almost a prisoner of your own competence?
It's unusual to be sure, but I think we have to remember that Cody, after playing guard his first 2 years at Kansas State, was their starting left tackle for 2 years, and that's why you kind of go there. He is not, you know, the definition of what you're looking for at that position in the NFL. They do have, I don't know why they don't talk more about the option of Alex Bars, because I know going into the draft and prior to his tearing that ACL his senior year, a lot of folks were projecting him there possibly as high as a day two draft choice. So there are some other options. It is a concern, but going back to the main point, guys, the only thing I would argue with y'all on this, it is so early. Okay. The only one honestly that bothered me was Robert Quinn, because, you know, after going through it all year last year and then to come back and find out he's missing he didn't miss it actually, but he wasn't a full participant first day of practice, and then to tell us it was the same nagging back stuff as last year, that can be a little bit concerning. But the rest of this stuff, I'm a little more worried about Tariq Cohn. I thought he'd be further along in his rehab than apparently he is right now. But with an ACL, even if he's not 100% till week three, week four, that's okay. But the Eddie Jackson stuff, the Tevin Jenkins stuff, again, it's just a little too early to get concerned about that stuff, I think, anyway.
I feel like it's some sort of rule that we have function and the dysfunction of being worried about the Bears offensive line after last season, especially. So perhaps we're just all getting into old habits. But anytime a rookie is involved and we are talking about that left tackle position, you know, Hub, we're going to be concerned every day.
Well, we touched on this a little bit with Bigsy. I mean, we knew going into the offseason it should be priority one, and they made it a priority by going in the second round and trading up to get Jenkins. But when you look at everything they've done to attack the problem at both tackle positions, they didn't really do anything tremendously dramatic to give you any great faith that they've improved the situation all that much.
And aside from the Bears, I want to get your take on just your expectation level today. Is there anything that you don't want to have happen, guys? Dan and Layla, are you hoping for everything to happen, or maybe some things to happen, or nothing to happen?
It's a really complicated question. I wanted them to trade Rizzo. I don't have the same, and I know there's a lot of emotional attachment to Rizzo. I get that. I'm going to feel worse. I understand it, but I'm going to feel worse about them cutting ties with Bryant or Baez just because of how valuable they are as baseball players. You know, Rizzo's is not. I thought they got a haul for him. I was shocked that they got what they got for a rental 32-year-old first baseman with a bad back to get two top 12 prospects. I'm amazed at that. That's sorcery. But it's going to hit home a lot more when they decide we don't want Chris Bryant as part of our baseball team, or we don't want Javier Baez as part of our baseball team.
I'm in agreement when it comes to Baez, because he's the one that I've maintained they would likely build around. I think Chris Bryant, simply because of how things started with the team and how that ended up coloring the rest of his time here, I think that that's significant in this space. The video yesterday that was making the rounds on social media, Taylor McGregor posted it from Marquee, of Bryant just taking it in, certainly felt like there was some sort of finality. But the problem to me is that not only is this dynasty potentially going out with an absolute whimper, but that you're not going to get the haul you wanted for these players who had so much value to you. And there is a real element of evaluation there that has to be done. We talked about the farm system yesterday and the amount of names that you're excited about when it comes to the Cubs team and who you want to see in the future. Brennan Davis had a great futures game. People are excited about him. Braylon Marquez. You can name 10, but can you name 15? Can you name enough players where you'd feel confident about what's happening years from now? And that's the bigger question.
No, Ed
Howard is
yet.
A long way away. Those dudes from the trade for Yu Darvish, and I call them some dudes dramatically, they're a long way away. That's when you have to consider all of this.
Those were the lotto tickets, right? They got to scratch those babies and see what they have.
Exactly.
I got to tell you, I've been sitting here all morning with this knot in the pit of my stomach that's been getting worse and worse, and it has absolutely nothing to do with getting up at 4 in the morning to spend 4 hours with Molly and Ray and Dustin. That's the only good thing that's happened to me the last 24 hours. But to Layla's point, I mean, I don't think it's that they don't want Baez or Bryant here. I think that they're telling us that in their estimation, they can't win with them because they have to build around them. And the only way to get the pieces to rebuild successfully is to start moving these guys. But I get back to what Layla said about that video of Bryant after the game. I mean, it just, if you're a Cubs fan, it hurts. And I think that maybe the mistake that we're making here is instead of trying to analyze this as to how it gets better, because it isn't going to get better in the near future, you just got to take some time to grieve. It's like any other, you know, great loss that we go through in life. I never in a million years after 16 in the immediate aftermath expected them to be the 85 Bears. And in some respects, I think this is worse than the 85 Bears. And it may be for Cubs fans that the best thing we can do for ourselves is just don't try and, you know, find any positive here. Let's grieve, you know, let's get it out of our system. And then you start to move on and wait and see what's next.
That's it to me. And we were talking about that a little bit in our pre-show meeting, too. The idea of people measuring times of their lives with Anthony Rizzo's tenure with the Cubs and when they got good and what that means. And the fact that this drought being broken has significance far-reaching from just that 85 Bears idea, too. I think everyone thought that because that team was so good and because something happened that was so improbable from a feeling standpoint, you thought that the power was there and the talent was there to last way beyond this, that it was definitely at least a two World Series type of team, or at least get there. You at least get to that second one. You don't have to win it necessarily. It would have been nice, but the idea that they should have gotten a little bit farther. This team was supposed to be that team. It was supposed to be a dynasty, not just one flash in the pan.
Well, I think that's what we're grieving. That, to Hub's point, it's not necessarily the fact that a certain player is leaving. It's really coming to terms with what this wasn't.
Yes.
And if you can reconcile the fact that the one World Series redeems everything, that's cool. I'm not telling you there's a right or wrong way to feel here. That it might just be, hey, that transcendent moment, that was it. And that meant everything. That validated anything else that happened. Or you can say, you know what? I expected this to be there was supposed to be more. It was supposed to be greater and grander and dynastic. And it's okay to realize that it wasn't. And there was also, with those heightened expectations, there was immense disappointment.
What about the Sox actions yesterday? Were either of you surprised that they managed to pull off a trade both in the division and in the crosstown rivalry? It was pretty extraordinary, really.
I was asked yesterday what reliever I wanted the Cubs or the White Sox to go after, and I said Ryan Tepera because a broken clock is right twice a day. So I was happy to see that trade worked out. I don't know about you, especially Molly, because observer of Sox for the years that you have. I didn't know that after Quintana they would make another trade with the Cubs like that and everybody would be cool about it.
Yeah, I was just surprised that they actually managed to get done what I wanted them to get done. How many times did that happen? Now, you know, you look around baseball, it was like insane yesterday. There was so much stuff going on. And if the Dodgers do indeed get Kimbrel after getting Scherzer and Trey Turner's a good player. I know he's been down, but goodness gracious, they like... Is everyone trying to buy the World Series here? And where does that leave the White Sox? And are we still waiting for finding out who's healthy and who's back? And, oh, by the way, can the guys you have actually hit? They've lost 6 of 8, and it doesn't seem to matter. felt terrible that Francona is leaving for his health. Great guy. And but my God, that coupled with the Indians trading with him 8 games back, it's like everyone in the division has quit.
I don't know what Cleveland wants to do. Because I think their soft tank approach of the last couple of years was pretty obvious. But Cesar Hernandez is a very serviceable player. I thought it was a pretty savvy pickup. As far as the Dodgers are concerned, by the way, I started screaming when I saw that trade come through. Like, game over. I just want him to get Kimbrel at this point. Just go to the extreme, build the juggernaut, let's see who can take it down.
And you look at what's going on out west and out east, the Yankees and the Dodgers, and what they're doing to not care and to spend and you know, gild the lily. And here are the Cubs cutting, despite everything that was said about the wheelbarrows full of money once they got their network and everything. And they'd say, just you wait and see. And all of these promises that are now unfulfilled because they don't want to do that. They could re-sign Baez. They could re-sign Bryant. They could do it all tomorrow. They could cut checks to everybody and keep that part of the band together. And they don't want to.
Currently, the Dodgers payroll is at $275 million.
Jeez.
That's right, kids.
Is that with Bauer or without Bauer?
That's what we're trying to figure out. What do you say to that? Now, again, I maintain that TV deal will not happen again. The 25-year, multi-billion-dollar deal that they got where you still know the figures because they were that gaudy. You're not going to see that just because of how media is constructed now. But my goodness.
You know, guys, I alluded to this earlier. The one move left that would make me the happiest at this point, I guess, that I'd love to see from the Sox perspective, I'd love to see them get Kimbrel. I'm not saying they can't win if they don't, but if they did with Liam Hendricks and Greg Kimbrel at the back of that bullpen with everything else they've got, to me, they become the odds-on favorite to win a World Series this year, and so that'd be great for the city. The flip side of it, unfortunately, is that I don't see that they have the prospects left to have that deal make sense for the Cubs. But if there's one thing that could kind of tie this all together, again, Layla, to your point, is, you know, people worry about these two teams dealing with each other. If that could be a win-win type scenario, I guess that would be the best way to cap this deadline in Chicago.
And I love that you guys had James Fox on. I don't think he gets enough credit, and I really appreciate that you guys had him on. I thought that was a great segment, talking about where the Sox are realistically with their farm system right now.
Yeah, he does a great job. What have you guys today? What will you be having on?
Our Friday is going to involve a lot of making sure we see blue check marks on Twitter as we wait to find out what happens to the immediate futures of Javier Baez, Chris Bryant, Craig Kimbrel, and others. So we're going to be on top of that, everything that happens throughout the day. We're going to get to the way the Cubs handled yesterday and maybe debate what fans are owed or deserve when it comes to the end of one of these careers and how you balance that with business. At 10 o'clock, White Sox VP of Sales and Marketing Brooks Boyer is going to join us because as they get started with some well-attended home games here, they've been trying to fix some issues that have gone on at Guaranteed Rate Field. And he's going to tell you, the White Sox fan, if you are planning on going to games, some life hacks in your White Sox experience to make everything easier on everybody. Adam Hoge, Bears insider for NBC Sports Chicago, will give us the latest at 11. And like I say, we don't know exactly where this is going to go because we're going to be at the whim of headlines potentially throughout the entire show.
All right, guys, have a great one.
Thank you very much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.